Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online. And here we are, coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting research facility. This is Pastor Mike, and I am online and live today, coming out of the COVID fog. I want to mention a couple of things before I get into the topic du jour. Pardon my French. If you watched Tuesday's program, I responded to a man who criticized me and my family, my wife, and he sent a wonderful, heartfelt apology. And I responded in turn with an apology. And let me say this. We're family. And I firmly believe this. We are family. We all have our father's DNA. We have our father's DNA. We all believe the same Bible. We believe the words that are in that book. We live by those words. And we are humans in that we fail. We commit sins. We say wrong things. We do wrong things. And there are times when we won't agree with each other. You've heard me mention, I have friends in the ministry that I don't agree with everything they say. They don't agree with everything I say. But we are brothers and we are friends, and I don't have very many. I don't have very many friends on this earth. I don't have anybody that agrees with me on everything I say. So family at times will butt heads. And in Christianity, I've been in church almost all of my life, and I know church people. We sometimes get at each other. But it's like I used to work in construction. I used to work with men, not snowflakes, men that used their arms, their back, their strength, their manhood to build houses, build businesses. I used to work with those men, and sometimes men on a job site would get frustrated, and sometimes they'd take that frustration out on each other. There'd be a fight every now and then, and when it was all over with, they would brush each other off, say, "Sorry, bro, let's go back to work." My wife used to work for a big company in South County, St. Louis, working in Medicare claims for the state of Missouri. And there was a woman there that all the gals hated. She was a troublemaker. She was a gossip. She would go to one girl, listen to her stuff, and gossip about everybody else. And then she'd go to somebody that the other girl just talked about and tell her what she just said, or just tried to stir up trouble every day. And my wife used to come home frustrated every day, and I'd have to listen to her go blah, 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 blah about all this trouble they had. And I said to her, "What you need to do is do what guys do. Take her out in the parking lot. You and her or somebody in her go to blowing fisticuffs at each other, knock each other around for a while, beat her down to the ground, and pick her back up and say, 'Okay, it's over with,' and walk off." My wife would just go, "Uff." I go, "Well, that's what guys would do." So in Christianity, in our family, there are going to be disagreements. And sometimes we let ourselves get away, or we get away with saying things that we probably shouldn't say, demeaning people in a way that we shouldn't do, going after somebody because they believe a certain this or certain that. And I'm going to say this. I still am not a big fan of natural remedies. I'm not. I'm going to ask you a question. Why does anybody who's selling natural remedies on the internet, what is their primary reason why they're selling apple seeds and, you know, crabgrass root or whatever? What is their primary reason? Their primary reason is the same reason that Eli Lilly and other pharmaceutical companies, why they make and manufacture and sell their products. Make money. And in almost all natural remedy websites, there are scores of articles and videos on how dangerous pharmaceutical companies and their medicines are. How deadly, how evil, how they kill people, so on. Now, I will say, in all fairness, I will say, I have noted the fact that as far as pharmaceutical commercial medicines that are available, either over the counter or through a prescription, there are no cures that I'm aware of. No cures. You go to the doctor, you find out you've got some syndrome or some disease. The doctor says, here, I'm going to write you a prescription. If you take 5 of these, you'll be completely cured. I'm not aware of, well, maybe some antibiotics, a Z-Pak, okay? But it's not a guarantee. There are a lot of treatments. They treat symptoms. But I think there's very little cures on the shelf. Now, I get that. I get it. I understand it. I don't have, you know, the problem I have with my nerves and a few other minor things. I get it that I'm being treated, the symptoms are being treated. But my doctor has never given me and said, here, take 10 of these and this will cure you. Don't know of a cure. So maybe there's something to that. But I'm going to say this as well. Natural remedies, maybe somebody every now and then says, yeah, that cured me, that healed me. I'm fine with that. But some of the claims that I see on natural remedy websites, and I'm not naming anyone in particular, some of the claims just aren't true. But their motive in making those claims is to sell product. That's the motive behind it. So, I mean, you can just not like me, because I don't really go in for natural remedies. I just don't. It's not me. I don't trust every commercial drug that's out on the market. They gave me something. I don't remember the name of it. You've probably heard the commercials. I have it in the back of my mind somewhere. But when I left the hospital, they gave me something for a blood thinner. Supposed to take it like 7 days. So they gave me 7 pills. I took one. It absolutely destroyed my stomach. I hurt so bad after taking that. And I told my wife, I said, I'm throwing those away. Well, you're supposed to take them. I ain't taking them. I ain't taking them. They absolutely destroyed my stomach. And I told them that. They said, are you taking that? I said, no. Killed my stomach. I can't take it. So I didn't take it. Everything has to be judged on its own merit. Not all pharma is bad. Not all natural remedies are bad. Some of them probably are beneficial. You just, and we just going to have to just disagree with one another on what you should take. Now, I got a call from a lady today. I'm not going to give her name. I want you to pray for her. God knows who she is. She called and said that she was diagnosed with cancer. And she called me and said, I need help with what to do. She said, more than likely, the cancer is terminal. Like Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh announced last week that his cancer is terminal. It's going to kill him. He's made probably his last broadcast. He's going to die probably within the next few months. And I hope that he makes things right with the Lord. He claims, he says he believes in God. I understand that. But I want him saved. The devils also believe and tremble. I want him saved. I like the guy. Okay? But anyway, a lady called, said that she has cancer and is more than likely terminal. Several doctors have told her, well, if you do this or if you let us do this, we can give you maybe a 12 to 15% chance that we can give you a few more months of life. But no doctor has told her that they can cure her. Not with chemo, not with radiation, not with anything. And then, of course, she has a lot of more than likely well-meaning people who are telling her varying things. Oh, you need to take this. Go to this website and take some of this grass here and some of this lemon seed here. And they sell this, and this cures cancer. There are testimonials on there that says that it cures cancer. And she, like us, when my wife found out she had cancer and I announced it, we had a lot of people, well-meaning, I'm not knocking anybody, but they all told us different things to do. And being told that you have cancer is a catastrophe in your mind, and your mind is running at 100 miles an hour, racing through all the things that could happen, might happen, things you might need to do, advice that's being given, and so on, and you have no idea. Then it compounds itself when you have all these people telling you different things that you had to do. Same with me with COVID. Very well-meaning people. Oh, Pastor, you need to do this, or you need to do this, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. And I was even taking an old script of Malarone, which is hydroxychloroquine, that I had left over from a trip to Kenya. I had about 11 pills. I'm bad about taking medicine. Anyway, I had about 11 pills, and I took them. And I guess because of their age, they were ineffective. Didn't work. And I still was out 3 weeks with COVID. So, and again, don't take what I'm saying as don't give me your advice. I appreciate it. But which person's advice do I take? Which website do I believe? What natural remedy am I going to take, especially when my life is on the line? And this lady's life is on the line. And she's had so many people bombard her, telling her, and I will blast this one. I will go against this one. I had a lady that used to call our ministry. She's now gone on to be with the Lord. But she had a disease in her lungs, and she knew she was going to die. And she had some of her friends in her little Bible study group just blasting her, telling her, you're not being obedient to God. If you're robbing God of the blessing, if you would be faithful and have enough faith, God would cure that cancer. God would take that away from you. It's not God's will that you be sick. It's not God's will that you die. Are you kidding me? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Don't tell me that God doesn't want us to die. We're born to die. We're going to die because of sin. And those people who are telling her, accusing her that she didn't have enough faith, that's offensive. That woman lived on faith every day. It's all she had. And the faith that she had carried her from this body to a new one. Somebody say amen. So, and it's, don't be mad at me, but it's largely women who do that. Well, you just don't have enough faith. God doesn't want you to have diseases. It's God wants to heal you, but you won't let him because you don't have enough faith. That's offensive. And I will blast that. But I'm just saying that, well, I've already said that part. If you want to do natural remedies, do natural remedies. If you don't trust pharma, don't trust pharma. But don't knock those who do. There is no, zero biblical prohibition from taking any kind of medicine, whether natural or manufactured. No scripture tells us that we cannot take certain medicines. None. In fact, the scripture says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It's telling you that medicine doeth good. The Apostle Paul telling Timothy, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine oft infirmities. Take something to better your health. So those on the natural path side, be careful how you treat people who take commercial medicines, whether over the counter or prescribed. They're not doing anything wrong. And I will also correct this one. I was speaking up in upstate New York, and I mentioned that I was going to have surgery on my right shoulder, which there's still a scar here, and I still have some pain. It's very tender here, where the electrical current went out into the iron beam that my shoulder touched. And it just destroyed all of the ligaments and tendons right here around the rotator cuff. And so I finally took it as long as I could, and I got to the point where I couldn't hardly move that arm. And I went to see a surgeon, and they did this MRI of it and looked at it and said, yeah, you need an operation. You've got tendons that are out of place. You've got tendons that are ripped in half, and I'm going to have to sew them back. So I said that. I said, pray for me because I'm going to have surgery on my shoulder. And I had a family, well-meaning, but they came to me, a man and woman, said, Pastor, don't let them butcher you. And I just love that word, butcher. It's designed to scare me. Don't let them butcher you. You know, you need to take this, some kind of, I don't know what it was that they were offering me, but some kind of natural grass, seed, root, compound, I don't know. But they said, it releases the body's natural healing energies, and it'll heal that shoulder. I am not aware of anything in the scripture that tells me that I have healing energies inside my body that are locked up. Nothing. That is a new age ideology. It sort of along the same line as acupuncture, that you have energies in your body, chakras, that are locked up, and we're going to do certain things to release those energies so that your body will heal itself. People, you need to understand, number one, not only is that not biblical, I think it's satanic. And number two, we are still going to die. This body is going to give way. She asked me to pray for her, and I have been, and I'm going to. But she said, Pastor, I'm such and such age. I'm not going to tell you what. And she said, rather than choosing to go through this chemo or radiation or whatever it is, and the terrible side effects that come as a result of that, I'm just going to rely on the Lord. And if God wills, I'm going to leave this body here and I'm going to go be with Jesus. Am I doing the right thing? And I told her, you know what? Following God usually is pretty simple. Israel saw the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, and they knew that if the cloud was there over the tabernacle, they were staying. They also knew that if the pillar of cloud or the fire was over in the next valley, that means they're all going to pack up and they're all going to move. And I said, following the Lord's will, if God really absolutely wants this to happen or for you to do something in your life, you will be doing it. God doesn't have this will that's weak and impotent in our lives. If God absolutely wants something done, it happens. And I said, the only verse that comes to mind is, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings and eagles. They shall run and not be faint. And I told her, I said, you just wait on the Lord. If you feel like that's what God is telling you, then do that. And I promise you, if God wants you to do something else, he'll lead you to it and you'll do it. God's will is just that simple. It really is. To those who trust him. And I believe that she did. So I appreciate the email. God bless you. I love you. I'll probably butt heads with somebody else, and we'll love each other when it's all over with. We are doing a feeding this week. Sister Kister, I love her to death. She is a relative of Michael's. She is going to Turkana to oversee that. Perkins is there, I believe, and they're working on getting the corn and the oil and the beans and the salt and the soap together, and we are going to try to feed more people than we've ever fed before. I'll let you know how that comes along, but I want you to be praying about that. And also praying for next week's Watchman video broadcast. I've already recorded it. I have the file in the computer, and I'm going to start editing this weekend, have it available for you on Sunday. It deals with the false prophet, Dr. Owar. And I already know that there is going to be a lot of resistance to this Watchman broadcast. We will air the audio over both stations, Watchman FM in Samburu and Eka Yokan Radio in Turkana. Eka Yokan means the Watchman in Turkana language. And we will be airing that, and there are a lot of followers of Dr. Owar. Now, I'm going to say this. There's a lot of good people who get misled. I've been misled before. It's easy to get misled. However, we have a Bible for a reason. We have a Bible to teach us the doctrines, the principles, the way that God is, and the way that God never is. We have those in the scriptures. And all I did was take things that Dr. Owar said Now, I'll tell you what, I feel led. I'm going to give you a preview. I probably shouldn't do this, but I just feel like God would have me give you a preview. I'm gonna put something on the screen. And hold on. Let's see here. Let me get to it. If you watched last week's episode, last week is sort of the preview of this week. Okay? And I'm going to make this statement. It became apparent as I was putting this together that Dr. Awar sees himself and boasts of himself as being equal to Jesus Christ. That's robbery. That's blasphemous. What did the Apostle Paul warn us about? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If any man comes, he will give you another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. And the three always go hand in hand. If you have another Jesus, he's not going to preach the real gospel. Never. He will preach another gospel, a false gospel. If you have a different spirit, then that spirit will also give you another Jesus and another gospel. Now, Peter told us in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter tells us the type of people who fall for false prophets. Peter said that they beguile unstable souls. Now again, those of you in Turkana and Samburu and anywhere in Kenya, I love you. I thank God for you. I pray for you. I don't mean to accuse you. People can get misled. But the claims that Dr. Awar has made of himself, there's a lot of rumors about Dr. Awar. I'm not telling you what those rumors are. I think I believe them because of what the Bible says. Bible says that false prophets have eyes full of adultery. Does it not say that? So the Bible's telling you what false prophets do when you don't see them. You see them up on a stage or in a big hall somewhere, in a big meeting place somewhere. You see them and they look spiritual, but you don't see their private life. And the Bible's telling you that they have eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Sin has such a hold on them that they can't break loose and they don't want to. They get rich and they get powerful. And they use that power, similar to the way politicians do, who use that power to gratify themselves in various ways. But I'm not telling you the rumors that I've heard. What I did was take the words that he said, or the things that he allowed to be put on his website about himself, and compared it with Scripture. That's all I did. So let me show you, let me give you an example. Let's see. Okay, right here. I want to put, this is from Dr. Awar's website. He always refers to himself as the mightiest prophet of the Lord. That's how he always refers to himself. Now, let me do this. I'm going to ask a question Do we need Dr. Awar? Do we need him? Do we? No. And by the way, you don't need me either. You don't. God was saving people and showing them great and mighty things from his word out of the Bible and leading them to glory long before I ever showed up. And God's going to do it long after I'm dead, if he tarries his coming. So the truth of it is, you can read the Bible just the way I read the Bible. You can believe it. You can ask God to show you things that you never saw before, and boom, God will do it. Now, here's Hebrews chapter 1, and I do believe that probably most people who follow Dr. Awar believe in the Word of God. In fact, I looked at the faith statement on Dr. Awar's website. I could copy that and paste it and put it on our website and say, that's our faith statement. I didn't see anything wrong in his faith statement. Nothing. So he says he believes the Word of God and the people that follow him, most of them, you would say, I believe the Word of God too. Well, here's what the Word of God says. Hebrews chapter 1. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by who? The prophets. He did that in the Old Testament, right? Verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So we have in our Bibles the whole counsel of God, do we not? Or are we believing what the Roman Catholics believe? That the Word of God doesn't contain everything that God wants. He gives it then to the apostolic chair of Peter. Whoever sits on the throne of Peter, he gives new words to that pope. Is that what we believe? That we believe that the Word of God plus Dr. Awar? Is that what we believe? No. We believe the Word of God alone. Sola Scriptura is what our forefathers based the Reformation on, the Protestant movement on, all of the people who believed the Scriptures and were burned at the stake by the popes. We inherited their belief solely in the written Word of God, period. Do we need Dr. Awar? The answer is no. Because now God is speaking to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, through the 66 books of the King James Bible. Now, I will also mention that Dr. Awar does not use the King James. But take a look at this. Now, he wants you to believe that when he was in Helsinki, Finland, he wants you to believe that all of a sudden he was transfigured June 18th, 2017, right in front of everybody. But he didn't. He wasn't. It didn't happen. Somebody photoshopped this picture, and it's easy to do. Somebody created like a white form, overlaid it over the picture of Dr. Awar while he's up on stage, and that's a fake photo. So number one, he's lying through his teeth. He's lying to everybody. This didn't happen. There is no video record of this. There's nobody who was there saying, look at that, he's turned white, he's glowing. Nobody. Nobody saw it. Now, that's the easy part. Here's the more serious part. He is making himself equal with Jesus Christ. Do you not see that? Ask the question. Did any of the apostles ever glow like Dr. O'War is claiming that he does? Did any of the apostles, anybody in the New Testament, the only person that we know of that had this happen was Moses, and it was because he was up on the mountain and he saw God's back and the glow was on him as he came down from the mountain so much that the Israelites said, put a veil over your face, Moses, we can't, it's too bright. He is claiming to be the same and equal with Jesus Christ. That's heresy. Here, he says that I went to heaven and anointed Jesus' seat. Heresy. And I have the scriptures to prove it. So, that's coming this Sunday. And I want you to pray for our ministry, for both of our radio stations. We expect a backlash. We expect it. My wife was a little bit nervous when I told her. My son-in-law, Michael, bless his heart, he knows some of the people that follow Dr. O'War in Kenya. They are zealots. And at first he was worried. He was concerned. And I said, Michael, I get it. You know what he said the next day? He said, you need to go ahead and record that. God will watch over us. God will protect us. I was so proud of him. Michael has been attacked so many times in Kenya, physically, that it's hard for him to go back. I have been attacked spiritually many times in Kenya to the point that I was almost out of my mind crazy until God filled me with his peace. I know what it's like over there. And I can't wait to go back. I can't wait to go to Turkana and visit with the pastors that we had a conference with via the internet. Because some of those pastors during that conference were followers of Dr. O'War. And I talked about the false prophets and I mentioned him. And you know what they said? We're just going to read the Bible and stick with the Word of God. We're not going to follow this guy anymore. Hallelujah! Somebody say amen! So there are going to be some good saints that after they see what I have to show, and I've got a lot more of that, and I have scripture for everything that I show that he said, I've got scripture that shows he's lying through his teeth. You haven't seen all of what I got to show you. There are some things that I'm going to show you. It'll tear you up to see it. Things that they do. When he comes into a town to preach, do you know what they do? People get out literally with soap and water and brush brooms and clean the street with soap and water and brushes. They brush and soap and water the streets and clean it so that the mightiest prophet of the Lord can come into town. They prepare the way of the Lord's mightiest prophet. People, that's sickening. That's wicked to honor a man like that. No man deserves that kind of honor except Jesus Christ. Clean up the dirt on the street before he comes. He's made of dirt, just like we are. And his life is full of sin. You know how I know? He's human. He's human. Now, let me change topic. I want you to pray for us. Did you see Jack Dorsey during the Senate hearings on the social media censoring conservative talk. Twitter, Facebook, Google, they're all doing it. When the New York Post came out with the story about Hunter Biden's emails, Jack Dorsey, who owns Twitter, made the decision to censor that article, and they locked out the New York Post from their own Twitter account, would not allow them to tweet. Now, Jack Dorsey appeared before Congress, and I'll tell you, he was as high as a kite. I'm telling you, that man was flying. And Josh Hawley, senator from the state of Missouri, called him out on it. He said, Republican Senator Josh Hawley slammed Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey on Woden's Day for censoring stories from the New York Post about Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden, saying Dorsey's primary food source is marijuana. Hawley sent out a tweet during the Senate Commerce Committee hearing on big tech censorship where lawmakers are questioning Dorsey, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, and Google CEO Sundar Pichai. Criticizing Dorsey for the way he responded to a question from Republican Senator Ted Cruz. Cruz asked Dorsey why the New York Post Twitter account is still suspended, to which Dorsey said, the New York Post can, like, log back into its account, man. Like, it's like they can do that. We only did it for like a day, man, and then, you know, they can do it. But the truth of it is, they're still locked out. They need to delete their original offending tweet. It offended what, Jack? It offended Jack? Because Jack is on the extreme left? And it offended him. You know, when you get a Twitter or Facebook account or Google, you have to agree to their terms of service. Their terms of service is actually a contract between you and Facebook, Google, or Twitter. And it says, here are our rules, and we are obligated to give you the space that you want so long as you do not follow our rules, which also means that they have to follow the rules. It's a two-way contract. And there is a lawsuit now suing Google, who owns YouTube, like 20 different YouTube accounts were shut down because they are pro-right wing. They were completely dismissed. They shut them out. Took all their videos down, and you cannot find them anymore on YouTube. And that was their income. See, they made a contract with Google that they would not violate the terms of service, and they never did. Google just didn't like the fact that they were right-wing, and they were saying things about Joe Biden. So Google closed them out, which is, it's wrong. Especially in an election year. Especially in an election year. You can't do that. You cannot censor election-based speech. But that's what they did. And so now there's a lawsuit. 20 of them got together in a class action lawsuit, and they're suing Google because they've lost their income and they took all their videos down. They have been harmed by Google. And I hope that lawsuit succeeds. Google will probably settle out of court. Probably. But anyway, Hawley called out Dorsey for his response, saying this level of idiocy confirms the widespread impression that Jack's primary food source is weed in a tweet. The New York Post alleges that Joe and Hunter Biden met with a Burisma executive in 2015, and the Department of Justice has said now that the emails are not from Russia. Because that's what Adam Schiff, Joe Biden, and others on the left wing have said. This is a Russian made up thing. It never happened. It all comes from the Kremlin. They're trying to tell everybody that these emails are fake. The pictures of Hunter with underage girls came from the Kremlin. It didn't actually happen, but the Department of Justice came out with an announcement saying that they've analyzed the emails, and yes, they are from Hunter Biden. So anyway, Twitter then suspended President Donald Trump's official campaign account after it posted a video relating to the Post's report. Now they're going after the president in an election year. I guarantee you, if Joe Biden loses this election, President Trump is going to go after Twitter, Google, and Facebook. Officially, I guarantee you. Now, let me read this. This article, where is it from? I don't know. Conservative Christians seen as, quote, obstacle to progress by leftists pushing America into soft totalitarianism. Violence in our streets combined with a shifting culture, do these signs indicate an America heading toward totalitarianism? It does. It does. I want you to think, and I'm going to preach or teach or present a sermon that I preached several weeks ago about communism. This country in the 30s, 40s, and 50s were fierce adversaries of communism. If you remember, there was a famous senator who was constantly going after people in the film industry, different artists and so on, different business owners, accusing them of being related to communist and or fascist entities, accusing some of being card-carrying members of the Communist Party in America. Ronald Reagan was a fierce adversary of communism. We've had warnings now for well over 70 to 80 years warning this country of a push to bring in socialism and communism because they're basically twin brothers. Warning this country, don't turn communist. And you have to ask the question, name a nation that voted in communism and there was no violence. Venezuela, violence. Cuba, violence. Russia, violence. China, violence. North Korea, violence. North Vietnam, violence. They all took over by anarchists. How did Hitler convince everybody to do what he said? He sent out his brown shirts, the SA, into the streets, beating citizens in the streets, bashing in the windows of various people's business, especially Jews, beating people in public to show this to show Germany, don't go against us or we'll kill you. So who went against him? Nobody. Nobody. And that is exactly what's happening now with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. That is exactly what's happening right now. The violence. Let me read. Where's the other story here? I didn't print it out. I have it on Evernote. Let me put it on the screen for you. Here we go. Double click. Put it on the screen. That way you can see it. It'll show up. There it is. Philadelphia Police Department ordered officers not to arrest rioters and looters. Why? was the mayor of Philadelphia a liberal leftist Democrat? Yep. He was. Name a city that has had Antifa burn down, pillage, loot, bring violence, that's run by a Republican conservative governor. Name a city. You see, most cities, most in America, big cities like St. Louis, Kansas City, Chicago, they vote Democrat left. Why? Because a majority of the people, both black and white, want the government to keep doling out welfare, food stamps, Medicare, free money, free rent, free daycare. The tide is turning somewhat in some communities, and I'm glad to see that. The Democrat Party has never been the friend of blacks. Never. White, extreme left, Democrat senators and congressmen and presidents have only used the black community to gain power. And when the government is the one who is feeding you, giving you your rent, giving you money to buy clothes and food and whatever, giving you free health care, they own you. Because if you don't do what the government says, you won't get the money. Now tell me if that's not a form of slavery. And I believe it is. So we have this push in this country towards socialism and communism. Let me keep reading this article. While it seems unthinkable, 2020 has proved that almost anything is possible. Can we stop it? When many of us think about totalitarianism, George Orwell's 1984 or the former Soviet Union often come to mind. Joseph Stalin killed over 50 million people in Russia who went against the communist state, or they thought they might be against the communist state. Put them in the gulags. Remember those days? The senior editor of the American Conservative contends America is fast becoming what he calls a soft totalitarian state. Rod Dreher's premise is featured in a new book, Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents. Ours is going to be more a soft version where they use the infliction of economic pain and marginalization and shaming to force Christians out the public square and to compel us to conform with left-wing ideology. And the fact that it's soft doesn't mean it is any less totalitarian, Dreher said. Just after World War II, German-born philosopher Hannah Arendt wrote that loneliness and social alienation had been the major precursors to the rise of totalitarianism, both in Nazi Germany and Bolshevik Russia. And yes, that is a bunch of Bolshevik. Anyway, that's a joke. Anyway, it has made them desperate for something to solve their problem of alienation and their anxiety, he expanded. Let me tell you what's happening. They forgot God. Now they want government to be their God. Government to relieve their problems, government to feed them, house them, clothe them, provide them things, make them happy. And yes, there is coming in the long term, at some point, a universal basic income for everybody. It will be related to the mark of the beast. The beast's form of government will be a perfected communism. A perfected communism. How can communism be perfected? Joseph Stalin, as I said, tried to brutally enforce communism down everybody's throat by killing anybody who did not happily go along with the state being their God. But you still had dissidents. You still had troublemakers. You still had people who were rising up and speaking against the communist God in Russia. So to have a perfect communist state, you need to eliminate all dissident. How do you do that? You control what they think. In the electronic age, we are nearing a time when man and his mind will be linked electronically with the head. The head, artificial intelligence, or let me say the seven heads, they will be linked electronically, I believe, to AI. Just as Google, I get nothing out of Google anymore. When I type something in to look for it, especially if Google thinks that I'm researching something that might be right-wing conservative or against the left-wing, Google then fills my page with websites that quote-unquote debunk certain ideologies. And I get nothing out of Google anymore. But imagine a scenario where everybody's mind is linked. Linked in to artificial intelligence. Is that no possibility? It's actually a probability. It's probably what's going to happen. And then you will have a perfect communist state. The fact that we are headed toward communism in this country is a given. And right now, this election, and I am not telling you who to vote for. I might suggest to you who you should not vote for. And I can 100% adamantly tell you, do not vote for Joe Biden, because his time in the White House will be limited. His mental faculties, everybody knows it, that he's losing his mind. He then will be replaced by his vice president, Kamala Harris, who donated and encouraged people to donate to a fund that would bail out the Antifa thugs and put murderers back out on the street. She is as far left, she's farther left than Nancy Pelosi. She's close to AOC, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren. She's mighty close to their form of socialism. And she, like Obama, like Bill Clinton, and in a soft way, George Bush, because he was spongy on most things that we conservatives think are vital, she will promote in this country socialization and socialism as the rule in this country. She will bring it about. Now, let me show you, in case you did not hear this sermon, I'm going to repeat it in a different way, but I'm using the same notes. Socialism and communism versus the law of liberty. And I can tell you without a doubt that socialism and communism are the Antichrist's government. No ifs, ands, or buts. None. And I'll prove it to you. James chapter 1, verse 25. Here's the law of liberty. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. And what is the law of liberty? Rule number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's rule number one. And I can tell you that if America as a nation would honor the true and living God the way we used to at various times in our nation's history, God would favor us. God would bless this land. He would heal this land. God made a promise that he would. So, rule number two, love thy neighbor as thyself. Let me ask you a question. Which would you rather do? Would you rather just sit at home all day watching TV while the government paid you a wage for doing nothing, paid your rent, paid your for your medicines, paid for your doctor visits and your surgery, if you ever get it? Would you rather do that and be limited on how much income you could have? Or would you rather go out and work and use your brain and your skills to create for yourself an unlimited possibility of income? In other words, using your labor and your skills, either your intellect or the work of your hands, to basically make your own wealth instead of someone just giving you this much money and that's all you can have. Which is more satisfying? To sit around all day and do nothing, or to get up and go to work? For me, I couldn't wait to get back to work. I had laid around long enough. Now, it took a while for my body to catch up. I think I'm back to normal. I'm close. Not quite, but I'm close. And I want to work. I want to do what I feel God has called me to do. I want to be a help and a blessing to others. That's what I want to do. That's God's perfect law of liberty. Instead of the government God giving me this much money only and telling me, now you can't have any more money than that. Limiting me and then making so many restrictions that I must follow in order to keep that money coming in. That's bondage. I would rather get up, use the skills that God has given me. I used to be a house painter, but I can tell you I wasn't the best. Okay? I'm far better at running my mouth than I am painting a house. I'll just tell you that. Not that I was a slop, but I do this better than I paint. Or tape. Now, I liked hanging drywall and I liked painting, but I did not like taping drywall. Oh, I hate it. Anyway, which would you rather do? And when it comes to loving your neighbor, you know, the little interchange that I had with the email guy, we ended up loving one another, forgiving one another, blessing one another. That's God's people. We can't say that we're not ever going to have a run-in with somebody else ever again. But we can then do the right thing afterwards and show. Jesus said that they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. That's the perfect law of liberty. The law of liberty gives us the freedom and the liberty to do what God calls us to do, or to use the skills that God has given into our hands for our own benefit. And for the benefit of others. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. God blesses a nation that honors him, and the people love one another. I love America. And I love my fellow Americans who also love this flag, our country, our president. You may not like the president, but you like the fact that we have a president and not a communist dictator, not a king. That's the perfect law of liberty. Paul said, Galatians 5, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us what? Free. Free for what? Free to choose what we're going to do. In communist Russia, they analyze children from a very young age and determined in those children what they were going to be. And those children then were corralled in groups. And they figured some of the kids, well, these kids will never be scientists. We can tell you that. So we're just going to teach them a minimum of things, train them to use their hands, train them to go out work in the fields or to work in a factory, and that's going to be it for them. And in Russia, communist Russia, you didn't have a choice. You were picked from a young age. And I can remember being in school. I can't remember at what grade, I want to say late elementary, maybe middle school. We were given some kind of test that was going to help determine what we might end up being as an adult, as far as a career is concerned. I can remember being given that test. I didn't understand it then. I see it now. That's socialism. The government telling you what you can and cannot do, what you can and cannot think, what you can and cannot be. God, therefore, giving us the liberty. The liberty. To be what God has given us to be, to use the talents and the skills and the mental aptitude to do and be whatever. God called me into this ministry. I enjoy doing it. It's the best thing I think I've ever done in my life with my life. But under a communist state, I might have been picked to go out and pick in the fields or work in a... No, I took a factory test one time when I was laid off. I went to the unemployment office, and they gave me some kind of little widgets test where you got to do this and put this on here, and they time me and everything. I didn't do so well with that. I'm not a factory worker, I can tell you that. But communism would have picked what you and I would be doing today. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Do you remember when you were in bondage? Do you remember those days? Do you want to go back? Satan often calls you back and tells you, hey, it's going to be better this time. Don't buy it. Moving along. Here's the difference between socialism, communism, and the law of liberty. In socialism, there is no such thing as an individual. Remember, the perfect communist state is coming. And when everybody is linked in neurally via the brain into the centralized AI, you will no longer be an individual. You will be a part of the collective. And socialism only cares about the welfare of the collective. It doesn't care about the individual. Doesn't give a hoot about you as an individual. All your purpose is to support the collective. And when it comes to salvation, believe it or not, the left wing of so-called Christianity believes in the notion of communitarianism, that no one can be saved if all are not saved. In other words, if everybody can't go to heaven, then none of us should go to heaven. In fact, that was promoted by Francis, the talking pope, recently, holding a series of masses and so on at a church in Italy, No one is saved alone was the logo. No one is saved alone. We must all be saved to be part of the collective that's going to have peace and safety given to it. Socialism, no individual. In the law of liberty, God deals with you as a singular individual. God did so love the world, but he loves the world as much as he loves each and every individual part of this world. Christ died for Hugh Hefner, owner of Playboy magazine, who's now dead. I wonder where he is. Christ died for Marilyn Manson, Charles Manson. Christ died for Barack Obama. Christ died for all the rock and roll artists that have sang against him. Christ died for the worst, most terrible sinner that you could think of. Christ died for them. He loved them. He loved them individually. And when it comes to our salvation, in my church, in the group, the congregation at Bethel, maybe, there may be someone sitting there that is not born again. Does that mean that all of us then must suffer the consequences of sin and burn in hell along with them? No. Because just because that one isn't saved doesn't mean that the person sitting next to them cannot be saved. God saves the individual, the one person. I'll show you that from Scripture in a little bit. Number two, in socialism, all must serve the collective or the government. The government doesn't serve you. Government doesn't care about you. I mean, here is Joseph Stalin as an ally with the United States and Britain in World War II, decrying the horrible, terrible things that Adolf Hitler did in Nazi Germany, the killing of 6 million Jews, the killing of over 10 million people, and yet Joseph Stalin slaughtered almost 50 million people in Russia because those people, without a jury, without a judge, were deemed that they were possibly against the collective and they were not serving the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic. What was the Nazi Party? What did the word Nazi stand for? The bigger word was National Socialism. That was the government that Adolf Hitler created. And in National Socialism Germany, did Adolf Hitler care about the individual? No. In fact, he told the German people, if we can't win this war, he told the German people as the Russians and the United States were closing in on Berlin, with him being in the bunker. And he said to his people, if Germany cannot defeat her enemies, then Germany doesn't deserve to exist, is what he said. In other words, every German must take up arms and fight to the death. And if the Russians and the Americans close in on us and we can't win, then let them kill us all. And then he put a bullet in his head or chewed a, I think he did both. I think he chewed a capsule and shot himself just to make sure he would die. Coward. He's a coward. It was all about him and not about the individual people. In the law of liberty, government serves the people. Remember what Abraham Lincoln said? That from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Abraham Lincoln gave his life for that statement and that speech. And in this country right now, I am perfectly willing to give my life for the sake of this nation continuing to be a nation of liberty. Liberty given to us by God Himself. But under the law of liberty, the government serves the people, not the other way around. In socialism, you have the stealing of wealth and property. Joe the plumber asking Barack Obama, "Hey, why do you want to take my money and give it to people who don't work?" And Barack Obama didn't try to hide it. He just said, "I believe if we spread the wealth around, it's better for," what did he say? Everybody. He meant the collective. The hive. The sheepfold. Does Jesus only care for the collective? No. He told us a story about a shepherd who left the fold to go do what? Look for one lost sheep. There's a story that floats around among preachers. I don't know if it's true, but a guy is walking down the beach and all these jellyfish are washing ashore. And he reaches down and he picks them up and throws them back into the water so they can live. And he keeps doing that. And a guy comes to him and he says, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm saving these jellyfish and throwing them back in the water." And the guy said, "Look down this beach. There's got to be thousands of them. You can't save them all. What does it matter?" And he picked one up and he said, "Well, it matters to this one." Threw it in the water. Went down, picked up another one. He said, "It matters to this one." Threw it in the water. Nope, can't save everybody. But you can save one. And he cares about the one. Socialism, you have the stealing of wealth and property. Let me illustrate this with Matthew 25. I've illustrated this before, but I'm going to do it again. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven," this is how God's government is going to work, "be likened unto 10 virgins," church people, "which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom." Every church in America and the world claims to be working toward our meeting with Jesus Christ. That's their claim. "And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them." Now, make whatever analogy you want. The bottom line is they had no light. No light. Some people can read the Bible and not believe parts of it. Some people can read the Bible and change what they don't like by retranslating. No light. Because with the Bible, it's all or nothing. You either believe all of it or you don't believe any of it. God said that in Deuteronomy 18. He gave the guidelines for knowing whether a prophet is true or not. If he's wrong only one time, he's not a true prophet. God does not allow his true prophets to ever be wrong. and his sure word of prophecy then, God cannot lie. And his word is God. Period. The bottom line is they had no light for whatever reason. They either didn't read their Bible, or they read things into the Bible, or they disagreed with the Bible, or however you want to cook it up, they had no light. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They had light. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They want them to look good. Some churches look good. I've been guilty of coveting big, nice church buildings. I have. I've looked at churches like that and said, "How come I can't have a church like that?" Listen, people, I gladly take what I have, not just with local Bethel, but with all of you, the people that I've talked to today, and all of you. I'd gladly take what I've got now over one of them big mega churches and them nice looking buildings. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Now, socialism would say the five who have oil must empty their oil out into the five that have no oil. That's what socialism would say. It would say it's not fair that these five have and these five have not. And see, what they do and what they're doing in this country now is they are trying to create a situation where the have-nots go against the haves. How did Vladimir Lenin, stir up the Russian people to bring in the Bolshevik government? How did he do it? He pitted the farmers and the peasants and the workers who were making low wages. He got them to fight to gain control of the government. And that's exactly what's happening now. I have legitimate fears about Election Day. I'll give you my honest opinion. I think it's going to be a landslide. I think it's going to be. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But I don't trust the polls. I didn't trust them when they were lying about Hillary, and they were lying through their teeth. And they're lying through their teeth now. But if it is a landslide, or it is that they do not elect Joe Biden to be president, there will be riots in almost every city in America. The possibility exists that there could be a civil war in America over this election. Why? The have-nots, and let me say something. If you think that poverty in America exists on a massive scale, go to Kenya. And then you will see what real poverty looks like. In Kenya, they don't get welfare. They don't get food stamps. They don't get health care. They get nothing. I've seen real poverty. I'm not saying that it absolutely doesn't exist in this country. But what I'm saying is most people who are impoverished in this country can get government benefits. Now, they're not like, let's say, what your doctor, your lawyer, or business owner makes. And see, that's the point of socialism. It means to pit those who don't have a six-figure income against those who do. And it eradicates the middle class. There is no middle class in Kenya. You just don't see it. But in America, that's the core of America. The core of America, most Americans are in the middle class. And socialism says we're going to take their money, their wealth that they created. See, they give you this idea. They plant this idea in your head that if somebody made $1,000, it must mean that they stole $1,000 out of the hands of poor people. That's what they say. That's what they get people to believe. If somebody makes $100,000 a year, it's because they stole or took or snookered or some way $100,000 out of the hands of poor people, and that's why they don't have anything, is that the rich stole it. And it's not true. It's totally not true. People who earn a high wage, a high salary, great profits from their business, they do it either because the work of their hands provided them that, or the intellect of their mind provided them that wealth. Why do surgeons make a lot more money than the rest of us? It's because they are skilled in a way that most people can never be. Do you think you could be a skilled brain surgeon, a skilled neurosurgeon? Do you think you could take the heart out of a man and repair it and put it back in and make that man live? Do you think you could do that? I couldn't do that. That man or that woman went, got the grades in high school to be able to be accepted into medical school, went through the medical school, went through their master's and then their doctorate degree. They earned it. And then they trained almost day and night in an ER somewhere, learning the techniques that they had learned in the books while they were in school. They paid their dues. And they have the ability to earn what it is that their skills has provided them. The doctor that worked on my shoulder did an excellent job. He said it's going to take 6 months to heal and you're going to have to really work at it. And I didn't believe him. And in 6 months, that arm was better than I'd had it for years. And not everybody could have done what he did. That's America. Why do people come here? Why don't people go to, Spain, France? France is a socialist state. You know, there was a company that manufactured tires, and they were looking to put a plant to manufacture tires in France. So they visited a similar factory in France. And they noted that the French workers spent more time not working than they did. And these were union workers. They were given an extreme amount of time off during the day. And the tire company executives asked and said, how much do they work? And he said, about 4 hours. But you need to understand French people. This is the way they are. And the tire company executive said, well, we're not going to put a plant here. Why would we pay these guys to do nothing when we need to pay them to make tires for us so we can sell them. It was counterproductive, and they said, we're not going to do it here. So why don't people go to France? Why don't they go to Germany? Why don't they go to North Korea? They come to America because they know in America, even the poorest of them have the opportunity to make wealth for themselves and keep it. Jesus did not rebuke the five wise virgins for not giving their oil to the foolish ones. He accepted them in as his bride and rejected the five that had no oil in their lamps. If you want oil, earn it. This is why the Bible tells us, Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out yourself. You know, hearing nice words from me or somebody else that you know might make you feel good for a little while, but I can't solve your problems. Some of you have terrible situations that you're going through right now, and some of you have called and asked me to pray for you, and I have. But I can't fix your problems. I can't fix your problems with your family. I can't heal your body. I can't deliver you from horrible addictions. I can't do that. God can. And if you're relying, and I'm going to say this. If you are relying on me to read the Bible for you, that's not right. How would you ever know if I'm a false prophet or not? How would you know? You wouldn't. If you don't study the scriptures for yourselves. Let me show you something. Simple word. Search. Search. Let's go to the New Testament. Search the scriptures. For in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus said, search the scriptures. You do it. Paul said, continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Here's another word for you. Study. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. You study, you work with your hands, you worry about yourself is the law of liberty that we live in now. Busybodies. Do you know what they are? They're actually in the scriptures. Busybodies are. They are the people who inject themselves in everybody's life that they know because they think they can manage your life better than you can. I bet you know people like that. I've had people like that in our church. I had a family move here from the East Coast. against God's will, because we laid out a fleece before God. They visited. We laid out a fleece before God, saying if God will do this, this, and this, then they should move here. Well, God didn't do any of it, and all of a sudden they moved here. And I knew God, it wasn't God's will. I knew it for a fact. And within 6 months, that man and his wife went around looking at everybody's life in this church. And I knew he was doing it. I knew he was gossiping about everybody. So he finally came to me and he said, on a Sunday afternoon, Pastor, I'm having a problem. What's the problem? He said, I can't figure out how to let these people know that they're not living right. And I said, well, let me tell you, it's not your place. It is not your business. It's not your place to work in these people's lives to try to fix them because you think they're not living right. Your responsibility is for yourself, your wife, and your children. And they had a child that was about 11, 12 years old that I could tell was turning out just like them. You know what the man told me? He said, well, we've been run out of 6 churches already. And a few months later, after I caught him deliberately lying, I put him out. I put him out of our congregation. He then went to my friend's church, Pastor Jim Waymire, good fundamental Baptist King James only church that God is a godly man. His mom and dad helped start this church. They went over there, and I knew they were over there because he baptized them, and I saw it on Facebook. And about 6 months after they were there, he called me and he said, do you know such and such? And I said, yeah. And he said, what can you tell me about them? And I told him what all they did. And he said, I'm going to have to put them out. They're gossiping and backstabbing me and a bunch of other people in this church. They're going against our deliberate doctrine, saying we're all wrong. And he threw them out of his church. Busybodies like that who think, you know what you are? You're a socialist. You think that nobody, you think like the elite do in this country. You think that you can better run everybody's life and manage their affairs and show everybody what they're doing wrong. I had one in our church last year. She ruined a marriage. She destroyed a marriage. She began to work in the husband's mind, calling him all hours of the night. And this woman, her husband left her. And she's telling everybody that she's praying that her husband comes back and becomes a godly man. But meanwhile, she's working in marriages in our church, telling people that they're not living right, going to women, going to this particular wife and just confronting her, telling her that she's not doing right, she's not living right, she's not really saved, and then being on the phone with her husband for hours at night. And she deliberately destroyed that marriage by her busybody actions. You communist. Study to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Don't make me do all your study for you. Don't do it. That's a form of socialism. When you refuse to study on your own, and you think that the only Bible that you need is what I tell you, you would be, you would fit in perfect in a socialist country. Or you're like the sheeple who go into false churches, refuse to read the word. They don't bring a Bible to church because the pastor is going to put 10 different translations up on screen anyway. So they never bring a Bible. And they sit there in the pews and they let the pastor or whoever tell them who God is, what God is, how he works, how he does, how salvation works, and so on. Never study it out for themselves. Never. The people who follow Dr. Olwar, you have to disregard Scripture if you're going to follow him. Because if you know the Scriptures and you listen to this man talk, it will become blatantly obvious that he is lying through his teeth and preaching damnable heresies. That's what Peter called them. 2 Peter chapter 2. Many, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Heresies that themselves are damnable. God hates them. And the people who believe them will be damned as well. Which is why I'm saying what I'm saying about Dr. Olwar. Because I'm like David. I hate every false way. Turning on a little air. It gets this room never stays a constant temperature. It's either extremely hot or extremely cold in here. Can never fix it. Anyway, I got to punch a couple more buttons here. There we go. Even in wintertime, I have a hard time regulating temperature in this room. Anyway, because the roof is right here. Anyway, many shall follow their pernicious, who shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And I'm telling you, if you know the word of God and study it for yourself, then you won't be deceived by these false prophets. But if you don't, you're going to fall. You are going to be part of the falling away, because God is going to allow in this world a strong delusion, because you receive not the love for the truth. Anyway, back to socialism. Socialism deals with the stealing of wealth and property. The government confiscates farms, factories, ports, businesses, you name it. The government confiscates all of that wealth. Why do you think China is working so hard to gain control of this country? Why do you think they want our resources? They want our farmlands. They want our mines. They want our oil. They want what this country produces for itself and for the world. China wants it for themselves, and they're going to try to steal it. They're already working on it. Now, does God give man the right to own property? Absolutely. And I can say it in one sentence. Thou shalt not steal. One sentence, one commandment, proving to you that God gives man the right to own his own property. This is my phone. Not yours. It's not part of the collective. It's mine. I bought it. I paid for it. I own it. Now, I don't own the operating system and I don't own the apps. I'm just renting them. That's how the terms of service work. But it's my phone. It's my property. This is my shirt, my pants, my shoes. I drive my car. Bought it in 2013. Still running good. It's all paid for. Don't have any bills to pay. It's my car. I owe no money on it. It's mine. And if someone else who doesn't have a car takes my car, that's stealing. Socialism would say, but it's not fair because you actually have two cars and they don't have any. So we're going to give them one of your cars. Why? That's stealing. You're stealing that and giving that to somebody. I don't care if you are trying to be nice to somebody or not. You're stealing my property. And that's what socialism does. God gives us. What did God do to Abraham? What was the promise that he made to Abraham? I'm going to give you this land. And he's referring to not just that land in the Middle East, but he's talking about heaven. Did you not know that we are going to inherit heaven and we will own it because it will be ours? Because God will give it to us. Isn't that something? Your salvation is the same. Don't let the devil steal it from you because he'll try. The devil sees you as a resource to use. He doesn't care about you. So God gave Israel the rights to that land that he gave them in Canaan. There were people living on it, and God, they were giants. God hated them. God wiped them out and caused his people to possess that land. He gave it to them, and they still have a right to it. The state of Israel, created in 1947, they have a right to that land given to them by God. In socialism, only the ruling class benefit. In Soviet Russia, if you were part of the Central Committee or you were high up in office in Russia, then you got benefits that nobody else. In North Korea, it's that way. The people who live in Pyongyang, North Korea, who hold government positions, they're taken care of, they're well paid, they have food to eat, but they will not speak out against nor criticize in any way Kim Jong-un. Because to do so, they would lose their job, they would lose their apartment, they would be thrust out into poverty and given nothing. Only the ruling class benefit. The rest of the people will live in near poverty. What do you think? I want to ask you a question. What do you think that giving a guy that carries out the trash at McDonald's and sweeps the floor, giving him $15 an hour, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think those people earning that minimum wage are finally going to realize the American dream? No, because then everything in this country, from gasoline to bread, will go up in price. You see, that's how it works. You dole out more money to low-income workers who are doing minimal jobs that anybody can do. All you're going to do is raise the price of the products in this country, and earning $15 an hour won't be enough. Then pretty soon, you'll have the politicians screaming, we need to give them $25 an hour. And by the way, do you know what's really behind raising the minimum wage, almost doubling the minimum wage? Do you know what's behind that? The trade unions. Because most trade unions' contracts are based upon what the minimum wage is. And if the minimum wage goes up, their workers' wages automatically increase. So what's going to happen in this country if Biden is elected and he imposes a $15 hour minimum wage for a guy who takes out the trash? What do you think is going to happen? Gasoline's going to go up. Bread's going to go up. Fast food prices are going to go up. Everything is going to increase in price. Everything. And those earning $15 an hour, it will be like they were making $5 an hour. back in the old days. They'll still be having the same problems purchasing things because all the prices went up. In the law of liberty, the individual benefits based on performance, intellect, self-application, and I should write in here, faith. Does God not honor our faith and bless us according to our faith? Does he not do that? In fact, I'll say this. Does not God bless us even in spite of sometimes our lack of faith? The fact that you're still alive is a benefit from God. The fact that you still get to be with people who love you is a benefit from God. And usually it's an unearned benefit. But my point is this. You have as much right to read, know, and understand the Bible as I do. Many people have called our office, sent me things in emails or whatever, or told me things that they found in the Bible that blew me away, that I'd never seen before. The teaching about the candlestick in the tabernacle having 66 decorations, I didn't come up with that. Somebody else found that, discovered it, sent it to me. I just got a big mouth and camera to use it. But the fact is, us preachers are not the ruling class over the puny people in the pulpit. I used to think that way as a young preacher starting out, pastoring my first church. That's why I gave everybody Greek words out of the Bible and then retranslated them how I wanted, because I wanted those people to think I was smarter than they were, that they wouldn't know what the Bible says if it wasn't for me. I was a socialist back then. In that sense, I was a communist. I didn't care about them. I only cared about what they thought about me. That's all I cared about. And my wife, God used her to correct me from that. And I was hesitant. I didn't want to change. Finally, God changed me. And I'm telling you, you have as much right to benefit from God's word yourself by reading and studying it. You have as much right as I do. Don't give up that right. Don't yield over to the false churches who make you sit in a service and tell you what to believe. Don't follow and become this blind, deaf person following this false prophet in Kenya, believing that you have to do what he tells you to do. And by the way, when I release this video, you're going to see the evidence that Dr. Awar teaches that you cannot go to heaven without his approval. I'm going to show that to you. Excuse me. There is only one way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Sancta Maria. No! By Jesus Christ only. You don't need some false prophet's approval. You just need God's. In socialism, they rule by the whims of the elite. Why is it that the most powerful politicians in this country are filthy rich? Why is that? How did Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, How is it that all of a sudden now that they've been in politics, their net worth is in some cases the hundreds of millions? How did that happen on a politician's salary? They use their position and money movement from the government either to some foreign country or whatever and stole part of that money. Do you really think that Obama sent all of that money to Iran? No. Some of it was diverted back into some of the politicians that supported that move. And by the way, the Clintons, they steal constantly from their own foundation. See, that charitable foundation, that money, they're not supposed to touch it and use it for personal gain. It's called private inurement. If it's a charitable fund, even if it's in your name, you're not allowed to touch a dime of it for personal use. And the Clintons, a man testified before Congress, he did the investigation. He said the Clintons, into the hundreds of millions of dollars, stole money from their own charitable foundation, money that should have went to Haiti. They stole that money and used it for themselves. And do you think some mid-level guy in the IRS is going to flag their tax return and do an audit on them? Are you kidding me? That guy will end up dead by the end of the week, because everybody else has that went against him. He committed suicide. It was a tragic thing. We saw it coming. Baloney! In this, we're ruled by the law of liberty. Now, let me tell you what that means. My mouth is like cotton today. Let me tell you what that means. Let me punch a button real quick. There. What that means is we are given the liberty to follow God. We are given the liberty to live as faithfully as we possibly can. And I want you to hear me very carefully. We are also given the liberty to make mistakes. Make mistakes. Because of the fact that we're human, I'm human. I apologize to the man who wrote the email because my emotions overcame me. My love for my wife overcame me. And I said some things that was probably in haste and probably not in the right spirit. And I shouldn't have done that. The law of liberty allows me as a human to foul up every now and then. And God knows that's exactly what I'm going to do. I may offend you unnecessarily. I may say something that just rolls you over. And I've had it happen before. I am just as capable of offending people as that guy that wrote me the email or anybody else that I've ever gotten ticked off at. I am just as capable of doing that to people. The law of liberty allows for me to be human, to be made out of dirt, and to make mistakes, but also then to be sorrowful for that mistake and be forgiven. The law of liberty allows you to disagree with me on things in the Bible. The law of liberty means that you can see it one way, I see it another way. Who's right? Who's wrong? We don't know. We see through a glass darkly. See, the law of liberty allows you the ability to disagree with me. Even speak out publicly and criticize me. The law of liberty allows that. You're not going to lose your salvation over it. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. I don't know. God will correct us in time. God will correct me. God will correct you. That's the law of liberty. The law of liberty allows us as human beings, our humanity, but then forgiveness because of the law of liberty. The Old Testament law had no mercy in it. There was nothing in the Ten Commandments that said, if you break one of these, just ask me to forgive you and I will. There was nothing written about that. It was all, don't do this, or the punishment is death. I don't want to live in tyranny. I don't want to live in communism. I refuse to live. I refuse to live in a communist America. I refuse. And I will put my life on it. I'll put my life on it. Give me liberty or give me death. I will either live in a free America or I refuse to live at all. I won't do it. Stand fast. Our forefathers in this country, those guys who signed the Declaration of Independence, you know, they knew that in signing that, there was a high probability that their lands would be taken, their homes would be burned, and they would lose their life. And so the reason why you see John Hancock's name so prominently on the Declaration of Independence is he said, they asked him, why'd you sign your name so big? He said, I want King George to be able to see my name without his glasses. Because he wasn't ashamed of the law of liberty. And he stood fast on that liberty and he was willing to die for it. And I dare say that these Antifa thugs are willing to die for their cause. We are. Pray. Vote right November 3rd and pray for the peace of America. God bless you. I love you.